Somehow it seems that secrets and sin go well together. And I don't know what you have, what came to your mind when you read the title this morning, My Secret Life, what this is all about. Maybe this was about those areas of your life that you don't want anyone to know, that you're ashamed of. That's the type of life that we sometimes live in secret, where we are in danger of living kind of double life, the life in public and the life in secret, or the life at church and the life at home. My secret life. As we continue our series, as Pastor George already pointed out, on the Sermon on the Mount, it is about the good life. Jesus is talking about the really, really good life. The life that he wants all of us to live and taste. The life that is lived under the reign of a good and heavenly Father. And just to start it out today, God is actually very interested in your secret life. He's very interested in that. He even wants you to have a secret life. And in fact, God is actually in secret. That's what the text says. God is in secret. So let's listen to the text that we are looking at this morning. It's from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and I'll read the verses and follow along on the screen. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray while standing in synagogues and on street corners so that people can see them. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, do not babble repetitiously like the Gentiles, because they think that by their many words they will be heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then, starting at verse 16, when you fast, do not look sullen like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so that people will see them fasting. I tell you the truth, they have the reward. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others when you are fasting, but only to your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. For those of you who have been attending throughout this series, know that we are discovering, as I've mentioned before, the good life. And in this section that we are looking at, Jesus is warning his followers of two traps that we can easily fall into. First of all is the desire for approval. The desire for approval of others for being devout and being religious and being a true follower of Christ. And the second is that we will touch on later on during the service or during the series is the desire to secure ourselves by means of material wealth. Our text today falls under the first stumbling block, that Jesus warns us against seeking approval of being a good Christian by others. It's some may call the respectability trap. Jesus introduces in this context a word that is coming from a theater world. We have touched on that last week already. Hypocrite. A hypocrite was an actor who was on stage and for a certain amount of time slipped into the role of somebody else to play that role, which was just this role, but not himself. And Jesus takes this word and applies it to Christians, and he sees in hypocrisy a real danger among Christ followers. It was demonstrated around them in his time by the religious leader of his time. But today, as we look at this text very briefly, in the time that we have, we just want to highlight certain discoveries that we can take from this text and how we can learn from that. The first is that hypocrites are not bad people. And I think it's important that we hold on to that, first of all. Hypocrites are not bad people. In fact, hypocrites do a lot of good things. They do a lot of good things. And we have touched on that last week, and I can just refer to that, but just let's go through this list. Hypocrites, for example, give generously. They give generously. As we have seen, they give a lot, but also they make sure that everybody knows. And today we look into this. Hypocrites pray openly. Hypocrites pray not just any time, but they pray openly in public. Hypocrites are people who are being known as men and women of prayer. They want to be seen as acknowledged as such. It's a badge of honor to know that I am a person of prayer. They also pay a lot of attention how they are perceived among those who are watching them. They use their words very carefully in order to make an impression by how their prayers are formulated and how they address God. They may also display to others and teach others a method of successful prayer. They may have found the secret of the prayer that really gets from God what you want. And they may teach this boldly and are regarded as those people who have that special access to God. You just need a specific method, a specific way of doing it, and you will get what you want from God. And they're proud about this. They're respected speakers and maybe even sought-after authors. Do I step on anyone's toes here this morning? However, their hypocrites are not what they seem to be. They impress the onlooker, but that's about it. Since God is not involved in their project, he simply steps aside. And they receive what they're looking for, the attention, the praise of those who are surrounding them. And hypocrites are good people. They also fast seriously. Hypocrites practice spiritual disciplines vigorously. They fast and they take it very serious. They make sure that when they don't eat for an extended period of time, that they look as gloomy as possible so that people know in what kind of serious battle they're engaged in. They will let you know how long they have managed to fast and go without food. And they will also manage to let you know that fasting is a serious battle that you engage in against your own flesh. They give the impression that fasting is the discipline that makes you feel miserable. And all they do is for God. God must be so proud of them. And before we come to any judgment, let's emphasize this one more time. Hypocrites are good people. They're respectable people. They're admired by many, but they don't seem to be the person that they appear to be. And that includes pastors and teachers and Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and anyone who lives in any kind of public form and has a public ministry, that you can easily fall into this trap of respectability, of being known as someone special, as someone spiritual. It's actually such an issue with pastors that recently I read in one of the magazines that psychologists have a word for that. They call it imposter syndrome. That pastors often suffer under imposter syndrome. You pretend to be someone else than you really are. You pretend in public to be a different person than the one that you are at home. Is that something that you can relate to? Is that something that ever crosses your mind? What kind of person are you in public and in church? Well, Jesus is talking about the good life. And he wants to tell us this is not the way how you find it. This is not the way how you find it. In fact, you are ending up in a miserable life. If this is where you seek approval, if this is where you want to be someone, you will find a miserable life. It leads you to hypocrisy, or to live a double life, to live that public life, to live that private life. Jesus wants you to enjoy the really good life. The really good life here on earth, but you don't find it there, where you seek the applause from other people. And we are people who need approval. We do. You and I, we do need approval. The matter is, where do you look for it? Where do you find it? Therefore, this text is, first off, the text says, God is in the secret. God is in secret. It says in verse 18, there is no such thing as secret before God. We know all that. Intellectually, we, especially when you have been long enough in church and know the Bible well enough, we know all that. We know that God is not, there is no secret before God. We know Psalm 139, where God is everywhere, wherever you go. We know that intellectually. But have we really understood the truth in our hearts that God is everywhere? There is no secret. He sees you when you get up. He sees you when you get down. He's aware of your thoughts. God loves the secret, but not in the sense that you think sometimes. He would love for his people to be in secret the same that they are in public. He loves authenticity. He loves integrity. And the good life that Jesus brings is not a life of duplicity. It is a life of authenticity, that you can afford to be the person that you really are everywhere, no matter where you find yourself. Since God is in secret, he actually wants to meet you there. He wants to meet you in secret. He wants to meet you outside of the eyes of other people. He wants to meet you in this place where nobody sees you, where, where you have nobody to impress you. That's when you go into that closet, when you close the door, and when you just spend time with Him. God loves that place. It says several times in our text, God is in secret. God sees in secret. He sees you who you really are there, outside of the eyes of others. So what does Jesus want to tell us? First of all, I think in general, He wants to tell us that we need to practice our secret life. Practice your secret life. I've mentioned already last Sunday that we need to train the muscle of our secret life. The secret life is a life that we live without being seen. When we're all by ourselves. When nobody is around us. When it's just me. When I let the guards down. What is to be seen? Paul warns slaves and us to practice their secret life. He says in Ephesians 6:6, obey your masters, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from heart. It is about that secret life, that we live a life no matter whether people watch us or not. It actually doesn't even matter or concern us. It is the kind of life that we live regardless of what kind of circumstances I find myself in. In order to get there, we need to practice our secret life. That's what others call in other contexts character. Character. A person of character is not a person that wakes up one morning and has it. I mean, there are people who have a character, who are characters by themselves. But I mean that kind of character that really defines you as a through and through authentic good person. There is practice behind that. And a lot of time that you spend outside of the eyes of other people. Learn. Practice your secret life. How do you do that? First, I would suggest sit down in the presence of God. And I mean every word of that. Sit down in the presence of God. Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the shelter. Others use it or translate. Others say, who sit down in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of them. And the shelter will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Sit down in the presence of God. That is a discipline. That is something that might not come natural to us to do that. We are so distracted. We are so looking for things that we need to do, and we keep our minds busy and need to have our cell phones with us and need to text here and post Instagram here and all the jazz that we need to do. And then we find it very hard to sit down for a moment just in the presence of God. Spend time with Him and start cultivating the habit of spending regular time with God. One-on-one. It is there that you hear the message from God that you are appreciated. It is there that you hear His voice speaking into your life and says, you are loved. And isn't it approval that we're seeking from others that we're so hungry for? And it is in the secret, in the time that we spend with God, that we hear His voice speaking into our lives through His word, speaking to us, I love you. You are a loved person. Or if you want to follow along with The Shack, I don't know whether you read this book or saw the movie, when in this movie it says, God is fond of you. God is fond of you. Sit there for a while. God is fond. You are loved. Regardless of what you bring into His presence. Regardless of what your life has been like until you sat there. Regardless of what you are ashamed of and what made you draw you away from God and feel like, oh, this is uncomfortable. You are loved in His presence. You matter to Him. That is where we develop our identity. I am a loved person. The Creator of heaven and earth is looking down on me and loves me. Have you spent time there? Have you spent time in those moments to soak this up and soak this in? Have you practiced this abiding in Christ as a discipline? And I mentioned it several times. It's a discipline. It will develop muscles, and you need to develop that muscles to spend more and more time with Him. And I'm not just talking about going through the motions and doing this, because you can sit with somebody else one-on-one and not talk. You can sit with somebody else going out for dinner and not talk one thing. and doesn't change anything, doesn't do anything. You can do the same sometimes with God. You just sit there, you go through the motions, you have your quiet time, you read your Bible, you pray, and then you go off to your work. Nothing has changed, nothing has happened. I mean, sitting in the presence of God and hearing His voice, listening. That's, by the way, where Jesus' strength came from. This is why you could be the person in public that everyone admired, where He did the miracles, and we really felt like to be in the presence of God when He was there. Not just that He was the Son of God, but that He lived in this kind of reality of God, the Father's eye being upon Him and being always with Him and knowing this wherever He went. This gave Him strength. And if you want to be like Jesus, then let's do what He did, spending time alone. He often withdrew, went up to the mountain to pray, forfeited sometimes food and sometimes sleep to be alone with His Father. That's where your and my strength comes from. Now, as we spend time more and more in His presence and make this a routine, make this something that belongs to my daily life, we extend this also to the practices that are going along with being a follower of Christ, like giving. We have talked about this. That we learn to give of ourselves and our resources without anyone knowing, without even my name being attached to that, anonymously. But here in our text about praying, that we pray in this time of being alone to my Father who is in the secret. And we may have to learn all over again what prayer is. And we don't have the time this morning to go into that. We may have to learn what prayer is. The prayer is not just rattling on my wish list that I have, that I would like to have from God. Prayer, as somebody said it, prayer is intelligent conversation about matters of mutual concern. Prayer is intelligent conversation about matters of mutual concern. And Jesus demonstrated this by teaching in this context the passage that I didn't read, the Sermon on the Mount. He teaches the Our Father, where you spend a lot of time in this prayer and talking about God, about the things that concern Him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here we spend time to talk about our mutual concern for the business office of the Father. We talk about the things that He is up to in this world or in my life. Prayer is not an attempt to convince God to give me what I want. Prayer is talking about the issues that God has on His heart. And as I do, I will also know how much He cares for me. I will not come short and fall short. Kingdom prayer is a matter of my innermost heart to be totally open to God, honest before God. And also doing that in an environment of people who love God. Prayer, in this sense, is theological research. You find out more about God in prayer than you may in many books that you read. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for books. But here in prayer, you sit in His presence and you try to understand who is the person that I'm talking to. And you get to know Him, to understand Him. And if you're involved in this kind of secret prayer, you don't need to concern yourselves with visible results that will come. That's not up to in your hands. So develop a regular prayer life. Start with the Lord's Prayer, maybe as a practice or a discipline, to pray through the separate petitions of this prayer and learn what it is all about. Start praying in the secret for certain people, specific situations. Talk to God about them without making any announcements. And try out and develop that muscle of talking in secret with God about the things that pertain your life and the life of people around them. And watch what God does. Where He listens, where He answers your prayers, where He is deeply concerned about the same things that He may have put on your heart. And the glory for answered prayer does not belong to you. It belongs to Him. And then fast. Fast. Good old-fashioned fasting. Withdrawing from food. And learning to feed on Jesus. The secret of fasting is not to become miserable and be as miserable as possible. If that's what we experience, we may experience some hunger pangs and all this stuff. But this is not the point. Fasting is about feasting on Jesus. That I tell my Jesus, You are more important to me than food right now. I want spending more time with You than having something to eat. We do this for the stuff we love. We sacrifice food sometimes for the things we love and we want to do. Do it for Jesus. Just do it for Him. But do it like Jesus said you need to do. Wash your face. Put on your best clothes. Don't look miserable. And let others don't into this secret. have your body and your soul sustained by the invisible kingdom of God. Jesus said to his disciples once when they were concerned about not eating, when he was sitting there and talking to this woman, the Samaritan woman on the well, Jesus said, "My food is to do what the one who sent me once done and to accomplish his purposes." Learning to live in accordance to the will of God and doing his will is feeding me with strength. And that doesn't come by one's fasting every once in a while. There's something where you learn to eat that kind of manna that God is providing for you in those times when you fast, when you feed from him and off him and see what he will give you in those moments. Start doing it privately. Set up as a routine and test it out. And lastly, learn to live your life before God regularly. And don't concern yourself impressing people around you. I would suggest that if you learn to live with God alone, the more you do, the less you will be concerned about what people think. Over time, you will notice that you will become free of the control of the opinions of others. That you will be liberated from the slavery to eyes. It will be of no concern to you whether people see you or not, because your Father sees. He loves you. He's fond of you. And you thrive in his presence. Our primary aim in life is not to seek the approval of others, but friendship with God. God is so eager to share his life with you. God wants to meet you in the secret. He wants to share with you that kind of life that is true life, the good life, the kingdom life, the life when you live in the fullness of his presence. And no matter what you're going through, what obstacles may there and what challenges life will throw at you, you will still be rooted in this goodness of God and goodness of his life. That he can hold on to that when things get rough and tough. Because here you have God on your side, knowing full well in your inner being that he loves you and will never leave you. And then lovingly allow people to think whatever they will. Lovingly allow to let people think whatever they will. It's none of your concern. Your concern is to continue to walk steadily with God. Feed off his presence, being strengthened by his word. And let his loving eye rest upon you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be called into your presence and to share life with you. It's humbling to know that you involve us in what you're doing in this world. It's humbling to know that your will is accomplished through us. And God, you also know at the same time how we often tend to fall into this trap of getting all the glory for ourselves. We're so concerned about us, about what people think and how they view us. Father, will you please forgive us? Forgive us that we look for approval in all the wrong places. Instead of coming into your presence and let your loving eyes rest upon us. You said it so many times, you love us. You are fond of us. You want to spend time with us. You want to give us that kind of life that is truly life. But we can only find it in the secret. We can only find it when we sit down in your presence. Father, whatever resolutions we make today, I pray that your Spirit may remind us of that as we go through this week. I pray that we'll seek you more than anything else. And as we do, that you will also increase our hunger for you, so that we less and less feed on the things that don't give us satisfaction anyhow. But learn to feed on you. Will you help us with that, God? We pray this in Jesus' name.